It's the Big Show. Yes, it is post-Bash Blues Big Show. Because we had the Bash last weekend, and oh man, what a weekend. It was fantastic. Started on the Friday night with an excellent curry over at Kismet and a hefty bar bill. And then all day Saturday at the link at Waterall, which was absolutely fantastic. And then Sunday we had the What I Know Day. And it was a bijou, little clique, 20, 30 people. But those little sessions went well. And next year we're going to integrate them in. And here's the hot news. The big news of the tech week is the Bash is the 23rd of July next year. So, Gaz, you can no longer use British Grand Prix as an excuse not to come and spend the whole weekend getting pissed.
No, I might have to use my wife and being on holiday. We'll have to see. I might have to adjust it so it goes a bit later.
Too bloody right. Too bloody right, mate. We've moved it.
You know I'd make it if I can.
We've only made it. We've only adjusted it because of you. So there we go.
Well, would it have been nice for you to ask first?
Well, no, no. We've had a. I mean, we had about 12 people say, "Oh, you're joking." I'm in bloody Turkey, or I'm off somewhere, on holiday. So we said, right, okay, because this is so. Because we get it every year. Is a couple of weeks. Oh, I'm away. So we're going to move it to the 23rd. So
you're still going to get people. By
it
the
will
way,
be late July. It'll be the week after the kids break up. So the holiday prices will have gone up. So no one will be away on holiday. And that's it. We're off and running. It should be fantastic.
Super excited.
Joining me to discuss the week in tech and lament the fact that we won't be getting pissed this weekend with groups of people rather than on our own. Fantastic panel. Starting us off top left, Mr. Silverstone himself. Gazmus, how's it going, buddy?
It's going great. Thank you.
You've got to give us a lowdown. How was British Grand Prix, Bell? Well, it looks an awesome race.
It was an awesome race. It was an awesome weekend. As you may or may not know, I tend to go camping there, and I go on the Wednesday afternoon stroke evening, get the tent set up, meet a few people that has become a bit of a tradition now. And there is a bar on the Woodlands campsite next to Silverstone called the Petrol Head. I've nicknamed it the Piston Head for obvious reasons. And we kind of meet up there, and then my friends came on Thursday. We went to Madness Thursday night, and then obviously on the Friday you've got the racing all day. And in Woodlands campsite they have three big marquees, and they have various groups, and they showed that. It's just a good weekend, a bit like a festival really. And then it ended off with that race,
which was awesome.
The race of the season, I'd say, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, we like that, definitely. Now, you do realize that moving the Bash means I can come to Silverstone.
Fantastic.
I'm going to try and see if I can pull it. I've got a few irons in the fire with F1 teams, with people who know people. So I'm going to see if I can get myself a pit lane pass.
Excellent. So excellent.
I'll be there.
Excellent. It's a good weekend. Well, you know it's a good weekend.
Yeah, bring the camera. Next to him is Jeffrey. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, and I'm just so bummed that I didn't get to come out for the Bash this year.
You're bummed every year, mate, and that's not a euphemism for anything else. But you say every year I'm coming, and then you don't go, and you're bummed that you didn't come. So
yeah, it's a destructive cycle, isn't it?
You apparently you need to get a job as my PA. I'm not sure what that means, but
well, knowing that's coming from Batwench, it could mean nearly anything. Hey, by the way, happy birthday, Batwench!
Happy birthday, Batwench!
Oh yes, I was a day early. Batwench is going to be my PA. You can come with my PA, mate. That's no worries at all. I think the commute's a bit far myself, but
yeah, but I guess it's a really nice commute.
Well, it's 8 hours round trip a day if it's good traffic. So,
yeah. All right.
So you come in next year then, Jeff?
That's the plan.
Good man. Can't wait to see you. And you're bringing Kelly G with you.
Here's hoping, especially now that it's earlier. Maybe this is something I can actually pull off.
It's later, mate. It's July 23rd.
Oh, July 23rd. Sorry. I was backwards. Before. Okay, yes. Mm. Yeah, now I have slightly more than a year to put pennies in a jar. I'm in.
I've had to move it away from the son's birthday because I burned that token last year. And
and the anniversary,
and
which was this year.
Because I burned that one this year. So the wife said she really enjoyed it. Said it's the best one she's been to, so that's cool.
That's normally awesome.
We did a lot
And
better.
I think that's a testament to the event itself, that your wife, who generally does not willingly spend her time putting up with a bunch of us, still managed to have a good time.
No, she was great. And I think the other thing as well, we'd got better this year because we went out and I did a lot of the purchasing and stuff of the stuff that wouldn't go off, like beer and stuff. a few weeks before, but we're good. We're all good. One of the people who was there and having a whale of a time with me both days, righty boy.
Oh, mate, what a weekend.
That was stunning, mate. It was oh so stunning. The people are going to write in and go, oh, well, you bloody bastards, you went on the on and on and on and on and on about the bash, but we couldn't go, so, you know, move on. But bollocks, you should have come.
No, it was the best bash ever. Obviously, as my fourth, and of all the ones we've had, that's great. We had like so many people turn up, so much fun. Obviously, the Sunday was great as well. I think the What I Know Day was a great little addition as well. So it's growing and growing.
I learned some stuff, and I learned some stuff about photography as well.
Yeah, me too, and I don't normally do photography, and obviously Ian Lewis was amazing, Alan was fantastic, just a really great day. You know, the bash was brilliant with the family day, but I really enjoyed Sunday as well.
Well, we're going to take those sessions. We did a What I Know Day on the Sunday, which was just a little trial of 20-minute talk about something that someone knows, not an expert, just here's what I know. And what we're going to do is we're going to integrate those into the bash next year. So they'll be in an area in the hall, and they'll be going on while all the fun's still going on outside. So if you just want to go and do something geeky, you can go and do something geeky. And if you don't, you just want to get pissed and play on some space hoppers or do an egg and spoon race, you can do it outside with everyone else. So it should be great fun. There'll be loads for everyone. So,
something for everyone.
Cool.
The Oculus Rift was there this year.
Oh, God, of course.
Amazing. I couldn't get over that. I didn't get a go until the very end of the day when we're getting ready to pack up. And it is an utterly different way of gaming, completely different way of gaming. And I got sick doing it because as soon as I started to use it properly, I wanted to vomit everywhere. But it was absolutely stunning. Thanks to Rob for bringing that. And thanks to virtualmine.co.uk, virtualmine.co.uk, because they brought it for us. And it was a huge addition to the bash. But everybody played on it. Everybody loved it. Mm-hmm. And the Google Cardboard. I brought my Google Cardboard.
Oh, yes.
And everyone loved that as well. And last but by no means least, it's Mr. Holtzman. How the devil are you, sir? 2 weeks in a row, eh?
I know. I feel special. Thanks for having me back. No, I don't know why you'd have me back after the last time, but maybe you're glutton for punishment.
No, you're great, mate. No worries at all. Had a good week.
It's really, really hot here in Arizona. We're having one of the worst summers I think I've had since we've been here, but all the more incentive to save some money and visit England someday, and perhaps during the time of the bash. It's on my bucket list.
Oh, that's nice. I like that idea.
Seriously.
It's not on my bucket list anymore.
Yeah, well.
Normally, I've got to say, actually, normally it's kind of like, blah, 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 and then Sunday night, it's like, oh, thank God, that's over. And I was tired Sunday night, don't get me wrong, but I really missed the fact that it was over. I wasn't tired and flagging, if you like. So enough about the bash. It's done now. 23rd of July next year, if you want to buy a ticket. We'll start selling them in September of this year. We're going to do some early bird deals as well, so you can get better deals. And we're going to help you with the hotels as well, I think. So a lot of people, someone rang me up last week, actually, and said, could I come and, I need to come and stay at the hotel, but it's £75 for a room on the Saturday night. That wench scored her rooms for £23.50 per night. So that was her and her husband for £27.
Wow.
Sorry, for £47 for the entire weekend. So buy your tickets, buy your hotel room, you can buy them from the 27th of August. They do them 11 months in advance at Travelodge, so there you go.
Wow. Good to know.
The week in tech, what's been going on? What's been happening? China has had a bit of a tumble. $3.2 trillion has been wiped off their stock exchange today, which, stuff Greece, that could be real bad. Real bad. But as far as anything else, I don't know what's happened, really. Brianna Wu's been getting a bit of stick off the Ohio DA as well for lying. And that's another one we could probably talk about, but I don't know. Who's got a story? Who wants to start us off? Drop it in the chat room and let's get off. Paulum's in there first again. You've got to stop doing this, mate. Microsoft job cuts then. He's off with the job cuts.
Oh, no!
Away. Microsoft plans. You've got to have a bank of gas. Come on, man. Either that or be fast-fingered on the chat room.
Well, I was just trying to get it in there as well. Boy, that's my finger, of course.
Right, Gaz is now looking for, he won't be taking part in this story because he's now looking for another story.
I will, because go on.
Righty boy, come on, talk us through your story, mate.
So, it's what's going on at Microsoft, because obviously looking at the figures now, I didn't realise in the last year they'd cut 18,000 jobs from Microsoft just across the whole company. But they're now announcing more cuts, and it's going to be nearly 8,000 cuts in the coming months. And those are going to be across the, the mobile devices, and mainly from the phone business, so Nokia. So they're going to kick out, obviously, the Kitex, Steve Relop, Joe Harlow, the Nokia executives have been given the boot. Satya Nadella is kind of saying it's because they're committed to first-party devices and all that sort of thing. But they're actually taking a $7.6 billion write-down on their purchase of Nokia. And they actually only paid $7.2 billion for it. But it's some sort of clause of the fact they have to write it off. It actually costs them more money. So the question is it Satya Nadella? I don't think he was really keen on the idea of buying a handset company just to kind of invade the market heavy-handed. Or is it the admission that Windows Phone hasn't got the traction that it needed and they may eventually kill it off? Because it's actually, thinking about it, it hasn't made the mark, and they are pushing their services across other iOS, Android, and other platforms. Is it the fact that they're going to kill it off now? Because the majority of the people who are going to be sacked are the people who are in the Nokia factories over in Europe.
I mean, the first thing to think is whether this is is this an admission of defeat as far as handsets are concerned? Because the only thing I would say is that they've invested a lot in it for a start, which they were going to have to do if they were going to get going at it. And it is a fierce, fierce old market at the moment. The only thing I might say that's a bit negative in a retrograde way is that, you know, they are traditionally about selling OSs. They're not about selling hardware particularly. And the Nokia thing was something that they didn't manage well because they're not familiar with selling hardware, perhaps. But I can't see them walking away from it. Not 2.5 billion into it or something.
They're taking the right down anyway, aren't they? So they're going to use a huge amount over this.
Go on, Jeff.
Microsoft could walk away from this, but I don't think that's going to happen. What I'm hoping happens is that Microsoft takes a page out of Apple's playbook and they pare down dramatically the number of Windows phones options and give us a handful of really well-designed Windows phones, and that's it. And I'm thinking maybe they would have better luck in the marketplace if they did something like that, as opposed to just hoping that they can glut the market and just get people to buy their products. Because at least for their phones right now, it doesn't matter how good they are, people aren't buying them.
But the point is, when they took on Nokia, they had like $29 phones, $100 phones, $200 phones. They had a phone for every single niche, every phone size, every market. And I think they thought they could muscle in on every single market, but they've either got to go into the business end or the low end.
I was going to say, I think Jeff's on the money there with that, because I think that's exactly what the problem is. They've got the 15-20 going for the mini tablet phone market. They had the 10-20, which really hit the camera side market, which they should have kept with, I think. That was a good seller. And then they've gone back down to the 520, the 530, the 630. There's an awful lot of models out there that they've got to produce and track and supply based on the demand, when actually probably four models would do them sufficiently. A really good camera one, a slightly larger one, a budget one, and a midpoint one would do the whole market. And they've got more than that.
Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But why do we think that Microsoft just can't win when it comes to phones? Because, I mean, they've got the name out there in computing, much like Apple had. I know Apple got in there early, but they produce a good phone. And all of the geeks and all the tech boys say that their phones are good, but the public just don't seem to want to buy them.
Well, they weren't at first. I mean, I think that's the big part of it, is that under Windows 8, Windows Windows 8 mobile for mobile phone, mobile Windows. I don't remember what they called it. It had like the most impossibly long, confusing name. The interface was confusing. And I think a lot of people maybe picked it up and tried it out and shied away from it and don't really know that the platform has in fact evolved and improved dramatically, because I hated the first Windows phones I played with. And now they're not so bad. They've definitely gotten a lot better, and they're a lot more interesting, at least to me. Again, your mileage may vary, but that was the thing about them that I thought at first was like, this is confusing. I don't really understand. I don't have a clear idea of what happens if I push on this, or how do I work that? And none of it made any sense. And I think it's been almost long enough now that maybe some of that will start shaking out, and maybe as people who are timing out of their contracts are looking at other phones, once they've got stuff that's out in significant numbers where it's going to show up on a shelf and there's going to be maybe a couple different Windows phones to choose from, as opposed to two iPhones and 10 Android phones and then the Windows one in the back that nobody ever really talks about. Once they show up on display that way, I think that'll also help them compete a little better with Windows 10 and all of that.
Yeah, it hasn't been that way for 2 years. It might be that way in America, but if you're talking about Windows phone sales in the UK and Europe, Windows phone outsells iPhone in Spain and Portugal.
Yeah, I'm talking about here, because that's the only one I know about.
Unfortunately, you're not the world.
No.
Americans tend to believe that they are, but...
No. I don't think we are, but I'm saying here, that's the experience, because in a lot of other places, you don't have the, I am chained to this phone for the next 2 years, whether I like it or not situation. That's not the case in most of the rest of the world. So here, it's a question of people who got something else, timing out, and then being interested enough in anything else besides what they already have, because there's a lot of inertia. I had an Android phone. I've had it for 2 years. I'm going to go down to the AT&T store, and I'm going to buy a bigger Android phone. Like, not everybody, every couple years, not everybody sits down and looks at what all the other phones look like and then goes, hey, that's actually what I would rather be using. Ewan, so,
did I hear you right? You said that in Spain, the Microsoft phones outsell the iPhones.
It did.
Okay. So when it was, what were they doing right in Spain? Did they have a better contract with all the sellers? Is it down to subsidies?
I had a bit of a spat with Alison Sheridan about a year ago on it. Over statistics, over the fact that iPhone was hitting sort of between 10% and 17% market share across Europe, and in Spain it was outselling at the time. It was outselling iPhone. I don't know what they were doing better, but Europe took to the phone far more. Mm. There's some comments in the chat room. Deep Ben says, "Ewan, have you ever tried to go to the phone shop and get a demo on a working Windows phone? Almost impossible. It's all Samsung and Apple. It's all they focus on in store." I can see Windows phones quite happily in the 3 network store. There's plenty of them on display that I can go and have a go with. I don't see that as the experience. And Saranac says that, I can't find the comment, but he's basically saying that his daughter has got a 520 and nearly all of her contemporaries are using Windows phones because they're a quality phone between £40 and £60. So they're perfect. Yeah. For kids. Yeah. Well, and that's why my lad has got one of my old 1020s, and he did have a 520, which I've now given to Bryony, which I haven't given with a SIM card for. Anyone starts to write in and tell me I'm an irresponsible parent. It's like a mini iPad for her at home, but she loves it. She thinks she's got a phone. And I am quite happy to give a 520 to my son, and if he stamps on it at break time, oh well, son, you've learnt a lesson there, but don't worry, we'll get you another one.
Well, that's the thing. I think the thing in Europe is Windows phone with a great SIM-free option is a phone that they could just go and buy. You can't, the price of an iPhone SIM-free is ridiculous. In Europe, I think Italy is another country where it's big. The SIM-free option, in Europe, they're more kind of favour the SIM-free option, so they go for Windows phone.
We're 2-year contracts, same as everywhere else is around the globe. In the UK, but I think the days of the 2-year contract are over. They are going in the next 2 to 3 years. You will certainly in 5 years, I think you'll see everyone buying SIM free, and the premium phone will disappear in that sense because there'll be so much out there that's available that's really good and really cool. And that's where the iPhone has got to move to keep itself from from becoming slowly irrelevant. It's got to keep ahead. It's got to keep up on price, and Apple aren't keeping up on price with it. It's got more expensive over its development than it's got reductions.
Well, that's what the 5C should have been. It should have been a 200 quid SIM-free phone. It never was.
No, it was too expensive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think at their current rate, though, Ewan, why they're still selling that many, they're not going to reduce the price.
No, if they're making good numbers, they'll keep it as it is. I agree, totally. Mm-hmm. And it's the thing with the watch, you know, that the watch, I think, is in for a very difficult 6 months now as to whether it stays relevant or not, because, I mean, basically the bottom's dropped out of the market, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, seemingly.
Yeah. We'll talk about that tomorrow on the Mac Show. Join us at 3:30 afternoon. And you'll be half an hour late because it's at 3, sorry. I mean, so is go back to Paul's story. Is Microsoft better placed with efficiencies, and it's just right-sizing the organization? I hate that phrase, but never mind. Or is this Nadella getting ready to cut certain brands and lines and say, no, we're going to go back to what we know as the core? Because that doesn't look to be the case, because he's been an innovator so far, hasn't he?
Well, it's all about services, isn't it? He's all about services. You know, Office for iOS came out before a touch version of Office came out for Windows. Oh, you haven't got one yet. I think he's more about the services. I think they're probably going to push the business market. You know, you're using Azure and things like that. We'll give you a business phone that's tied into your enterprise contract, and they'll probably hit the low end because in Africa and Asia, they're emerging markets. I think the kind of markets that the iPhone and Samsung are targeting, they're not going to bother it again. I was talking to Jim the other day, and he said, I really hope I get another 1020. I don't think it'll get another one. I think they'll leave the flagship alone.
Well, there's no more 1020s coming. That's it. It's out of production now, isn't it? So, but there's nothing coming that's got as good a phone in it, as good a camera in a phone as that at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyone else got a different view that Windows is better off without the phone market?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting to see what they end up doing, because I wonder how much of what Nadella is doing has to do with his vision of Microsoft as CEO versus what he was saddled with when he took Ballmer's seat after Ballmer left. So I think that's going to be something that we're going to have to wait and see how that shakes out. Because, you know, we were talking about the touch version of Windows or of Office, and the new version of Office for Mac was released today, and we still haven't seen anything on another front. So I'm curious where this is ultimately going to end up. Like, in 6 months, I want to know, I'm going to be more interested in how the decisions being made now are affecting stuff this winter.
Mm. Let's wait and see. According to DeepPan, there's two new Windows flagship phones out in time for the holidays this year. Holidays being, of course, Christmas for America, rather than holidays for the rest of the world.
Our language is so messed up.
Yeah, absolutely. Next one in the chat room was Jeff. What is your story, Jeff?
Oh, I was next in the chat room. Go me. All right. So this story focuses more on the United States. There's a bill that has come out of one of the subcommittees at the federal level in the United States Senate that, if it becomes law, would require social networking services like Facebook and Twitter and other online services that provide like a communication platform such as YouTube and Google Plus to monitor the activities that their users are engaging in. And then if they find things that would be considered a terrorist type of activity, or specifically words that are related to terrorist acts, they then have to report that information to the FBI.
So this is working on the assumption that Jihadi John, when going out to commit atrocities, says, right, absolutely pissed off, went on the bus, couldn't get my weapon of mass destruction on, conductor threw me off. So they'd focus on weapon of mass destruction. Is that right?
Right. And then if you have words that relate to explosives or all that kind of stuff, then you could be flagged. So what I'm wondering is when I tweet something like, let's nuke the site from orbit, it's the only way to be sure, if that's going to get me flagged, because I have now talked about explosives and weapons of mass destruction in the same tweet.
So what mm-hmm. this is going to do is create a whole smear of noise, which is middle-aged men trying to be cocky assholes on Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah, something
you say
like
that like it doesn't happen now.
Well, no, but now they're going to see him. Because I cannot see for one second that, I mean, if I'm a terrorist, the last thing I'm going to put in any tweet or communication I send are any frigging words
is,
that relate to
here's me
my
going
activity.
And doing it.
Yeah, I mean, you look at, yeah. I mean, even the military and military intelligence, there you go. It's not a common phrase, I know, oxymoron, but yeah, mm-hmm. the military intelligence have been talking about delivering the packet for hundreds of years.
Did you see Doc Rock's comment in the chat room? And Doc, yeah, you nailed it.
Okay.
How encompassing is this going to be? Should it become law? So if you say something that has the word explosion or explosive in it, is that going to get you flagged?
This is, I'm going to bomb Robin on the airport.
I was having, I mean, this goes wider, much, much wider. When I was in the US for MacStock, I was having a general conversation, and when I was over in the US many years ago refereeing, we knew somebody who actually ran the prisons in California. And I was talking about the death sentence. And there was then a bit of a debate about whether California still had the death sentence or not. So the person that I was talking to decided just to have a look online. And his 16-year-old daughter said, that's it, Dad, you're flagged now. They think you're going to be killing, trying to find which state doesn't have the death sentence so you can go and do your dirty deed. And he turned around straight away and said, no, it's all right. I've already hidden my location. So does this go on in the US already? I mean, that just amazed me that they
have
instant thought process about
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wowza.
Yeah. In the United States, you need to seriously think about what you're posting online all the time, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, but the thing is, you're not thinking laterally about Gaz, because you live in Northampton, so what you need to do is replace terrorist activity with incest.
Oh.
Kaboom, he's here all week.
Serenak suggested that there could be flying dildo bombs, which could really pick up on several algorithms all at once, certainly increase your spam level. And I find this incredible. The thing is as well, is I look at that kind of story or meme and I go, look, hang on. You know, there is no way that government is that stupid that they would start to look for terrorists who use the word bomb. And they wouldn't tell Facebook and Twitter that, listen, if you get the word bomb, make sure you send it to us, all right? Because,
you say that, but then you forget that the thing that has most of the military intelligence in the world really flipping out right now is ISIS. And the reason that they're all freaked out about ISIS is because ISIS has been recruiting people using Facebook and Twitter.
They haven't done it using the word explosion and bomb. That's my point.
No, they haven't. And that's the thing, is that this is swatting a fly with a Buick. We're going to do this just for people who are... This is the same sort of thing as why you have to take off your shoes when you fly in the United States. We caught the guy who was dumb enough to be obvious enough that we caught him trying to smuggle an explosive device onto a plane using his shoe. And now, 10 years later, I'll still have to take off our shoes in the airport for this reason. And this is exactly the same sort of approach. We're going to take everybody who's dumb enough to say the word bomb on Twitter, which, by the way, includes me because I'm known to use the phrase, that's what the kids call the bomb diggity, which means now I'm going to end up on a watch list. So because I've said something like that, and now I'm going to be part of this thing that now has to be filtered because nobody can figure out the right way to zero in on the people that are actually doing the stuff on Twitter that is scaring everybody else.
I mean,
here's the thing. This has been going on for some time, and God bless Edward Snowden for bringing it to the people's attention, not only of the United States, but of, of Brazil, of the United Kingdom, and other countries that the United States was illegally spying on. And really, we need somebody like Edward Snowden, someone looking out for the people to represent the people of the country. And, you know, the fact that we're even having this discussion is thanks to him. And I'm not trying to change the subject to focus on Edward Snowden, but to say that we need more people like Edward Snowden, who is selfless, who would give up his own freedom to do what is right, versus people who are willing to give up their freedom for the belief that they're safer, which is preposterous. It's ridiculous. To the best of my knowledge, the TSA has not stopped any terrorist plot. And to the best of my knowledge, the entire program that Snowden exposed has not stopped or prevented any single terrorist event. It didn't stop the Boston bombings. It didn't stop, you know, any of the terrorist activity that we've had since these programs were initiated. And it seems that Americans, and I'm shamefully in this topic, including myself in that group, where I would choose not to if I could, would rather be lied to and go through a series of dance moves to say, okay, you've done this ritual. You've gone through TSA. You've taken off your shoes. You've taken off your jacket. You've put everything through the X-ray machine. And now, therefore, you will be safe. And that's no different than, you know, the old medicine men in Africa waving chicken bones over their head going, you're free of evil spirits now. It's no more effective. And it's as a technician, as a person of science, my logical mind has a very difficult time wrapping my head around this. And I think because what we do for a living, the majority of us are well, we all are technically minded, this fails any sort of engineering test. You know, the people that make these laws are lawyers. They're judges. There's no engineers. There's no real life people that are making laws for everybody else. And I think there is a huge discrepancy in the population depending on that form of, some people get comfort being told everything's going to be okay, knowing everything isn't going to be okay. But whereas somebody else is going to say, you know, just give it to me straight. Don't lie to me. What's going on? Let me be best prepared for this.
Well, you can't do that, though, because, I mean, that's the point, is that this majority of what you're seeing in stories like that, probably, is actually deliberate misinformation. I mean, the one thing you don't do, if you know the kind of language that your terrorist is using, the one thing you don't do is tell anyone else. So they're not going to tell Facebook. They're not going to tell Twitter the kind of language to look out for, because that would be irrelevant. They give Twitter and Facebook words that mean absolutely nothing, that never crop up in terrorist conversations, because it lulls the terrorist into a sense of false sense of security, because they think, God, they must be stupid because we're not using that kind of language. The worst thing you can do, so Bin Laden had a satellite phone. The CIA had his satellite phone number. Someone got wind of the fact that they had it, and there was a story published saying, the CIA has got Bin Laden's satellite phone number. That was the last time they heard a call from that satellite phone.
Because, right, of course.
And that was massively destructive in what you would want to achieve. Stories like this are bollocks. Excuse me, Jeff, because I know you've written it. But
that's right. I still love you.
Misinformation that's been pushed out, because whatever the campaign plan is that the CIA have, and you know, there's we all want to look at them and go, well, they're just a bunch of fat old guys that didn't stop a terrorist attack in 2001. I shudder to think at the percentage of terror attacks that would get through if there wasn't the activity that was taking place. And stuff like take your shoes off is all show. And it's all show that while you're doing that and you're off over here, someone else is watching your reaction to that. And to be honest, probably the most pacifist reaction you can give is the worst reaction you can give to the people that are watching you. If you go to Israeli airports, you are monitored from the moment that you drive anywhere near the car park. And they have made a decision whether to let you into the building or not by the time you get to the front door, never mind even get on the flight.
They have an incredibly efficient security screening system.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike the United States,
it doesn't involve taking off your shoes.
A theater,
right,
that's very ineffective.
The theater of taking your shoes off is rubbish. So.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Muller Biker says,
He's on the train. He's got to change his name because he's still showing up as Ellis the Great from last week in the match. Bad luck, mate.
That's awesome.
Carrie, what was your story, pal?
Well, Silicon, you know, we talk about Moore's Law, how the technology doubles every 18 months to 2 years. And when we talk about processor speeds, we talk about the size of the dies and how they keep shrinking. And that continues to double. And that was a prediction made by Gordon Moore, one of the co-founders at Intel, many, many years ago. Now, Intel, there's been some stories saying, you know, the end of this is coming. There's a certain point where if you keep dividing by two, you eventually can't divide by two anymore. And Intel has found another way. IBM has found another way using a slightly different technology rather than the silicon we use today. Intel's basically saying the best we can do with silicon will be 10 nanometers. So we're really close to that right now. You know, we've got Skylake, the new Intel chips are coming out, rumored August 5th. And that's every time they come out with this new chip, they're not every time, but they do. every 18 months or to 2 years, the size of the circuitry halves itself. It gets smaller and smaller. And they say 10 nanometers will be the smallest possible on silicon. So IBM revealed that they are working on a 7-nanometer chip, which is, you know, according to my math, less than 10. But it's using a silicon germanium, whatever that is. It's an alloy that improves electron mobility at such a small scale.
It's what?
And that basically for pure silicon, 10 nanometers is the limit. They can't get it any smaller than that. And I'm finding this fascinating because, you know, back in the day when the chips were first introduced, when we go back to the original, you know, the 286, 386, or even the 8088, those were amazing technologies. They talk about how you can compare the size of the circuits to the width of a human hair. That doesn't even apply anymore. It's so much smaller and use less power. They do tend to generate more heat, but they're able to cram so many more millions of transistors. If you look on Wikipedia or Google, the number of transistors on an original Pentium chip versus an Intel Core i7 today, and you look at the code names like Haswell, Broadwell, Skylake, and you see how much more they're cramming in there, it is absolutely science fiction level unbelievable, and they just keep improving it.
Germanium, by the way, is what Angela Merkel's knickers are coated with. This is where graphene is supposed to run in and take up the baton and take it to 1,000,000th of a human hair size and that kind of stuff, but it's still vaporware. We're closer to the Microsoft HoloLens than we are to bloody graphene in an application that works, as far as I can see.
Yeah, but when you consider that the Intel's new Broadwell U processors pack, and I'm going to say only 1.9 billion transistors, and by taking that 7 nanometers, IBM says they'll be able to create a chip stuffed with an incredible 20 billion transistors.
Wow.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah. And we thought, you know, when you look at the original Pentium chip, they had millions of transistors, not billions. It was like, wow, that's incredible. And look how far we've come in such a short amount of time.
No more stuttery angry birds for you, mate.
Yeah, that's right.
Those birds are going to fly smooth. What are you going to do with it?
Well, that's the great thing about it. You can imagine the folding processes that scientists use for medical research, how much faster and more efficient that's going to be. The things that take, when we talk about 256-bit level encryption and how that's basically uncrackable because of how much processing time it takes, it would take years to crack it. Not so much with that. It's going to significantly reduce that time, which means you're going to need higher encryption levels for that to be effective. When you've got a processor that powerful, you could probably crack a 256-level encryption, I'd say, in a tenth of the time at the very least.
So pretty soon we'll be back to write it on a piece of paper for being the security, like cryptex. Cryptex.
Oh, yes.
I want to send it securely, so I'll send it on a cryptex from now on.
Just don't use the word bomb. You'll be okay.
Oh, no. There you go. A cryptex looks like a hand grenade, so that won't work.
Oh.
You're never going to get that straight.
I know what you're talking about. Okay.
Unless you can get a Cryptex in your shoes, you're knackered. You could get a Cryptex in your big toe.
Wait, so hollow out your toe so you can put notes in it?
Well, you'd have to have a fake, Jeff. Don't be silly.
Oh. Yeah, don't be silly.
All right.
Yeah, of course you'd have a fake toe.
We're talking toes here, aren't we?
What this will mean is that IBM Watson is going to get significantly better now and will give me far more recipes far more quickly on Chef Watson.
It'll be much better to beat you at chess.
You know, of all the stuff that we recommend on Cool Things, Chef Watson has got me the most emails saying thanks for the recommendation. It's a sad world we live in.
Wow.
The celebrity chefs. That's interesting, mate. That's dead interesting. I want to see what they do with it, though. That's a thing, definitely. I want to see Graffy. Where the hell's Graffy? Jesus Christ. Kelly, what's your story, mate?
I already put it in the chat, and it is that Lego, the brick company that most of us or all of us are partial to some degree, is investing loads of money in figuring out how to make plastic out of other stuff, basically. Right now, it's oil-based. You know, plastic comes from petroleum. And they want to have a smaller carbon footprint. And so they're looking for, they're doing a lot of research. They want to find a material that's going to be more sustainable and also doesn't turn Lego into something lame just because they change the material they're built with.
So it's going to be wood now then, pine.
No.
Okay. Old school.
My mistake.
MDF.
Yeah.
MDF, yes, because it won't burn either.
I thought it was a really interesting piece because they were, it shows that they're sort of looking forward and they've, it's like a billion kroner. I think that's the currency they use. They're setting up the Lego Sustainable Materials Center and they're hiring like 100 people to work on finding a better thing to build Lego out of. And I think that's awesome. The other interesting thing in this article that I found says that they produce 60 billion with a B Lego blocks every year. Every year.
Wow.
Not like ever. In a year.
So do you want to see this development or do you just like Lego to be a little bit cheaper? Because I know which I'd prefer at the moment as a father.
Part of what makes them spendy though is the licensing deal that they have to sign in order for you to get to have a Lego TARDIS or a Lego Golden Girls set or whatever. So that's part of it. Like, you know, part of that money goes to Disney every time you buy a Lego Star Wars X-Wing or whatever. So
I just, wait, are there kids buying Lego Golden Girls sets?
Not yet.
Not yet, but it's,
okay, wow.
It's being proposed.
It's been proposed. It's a thing.
Wow.
But to me, the thing about this that was interesting was that, this is one of those things that a large company does. And we talk about this a lot when somebody like Apple does it or somebody like Microsoft does it. And I thought it was interesting to see another company that sort of is looking forward and trying to find a better way to move ahead. And I thought that was really cool.
They're putting a spin on seeing if they could find cheaper production processes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they make it out that it's all eco-related. It's all about money. But well, how about, Doc is in the chat room mimicking my thoughts right now. How about making them softer when you step on them in the dark?
Oh, yes, please.
Well, if they fill them with the nano chips that you've got, they will become intelligent. So when they feel a foot standing on them, they will then flatten out.
They'll just retract, it doesn't hurt you.
And then when you take your foot off, they will then go back into their normal shape.
Brilliant.
Stuff Skynet in the day that Lego became self-aware.
That's gonna be it, yeah.
That's their secret. I tell you what, everyone's got Lego. We're in trouble.
Someone needs to submit that to Lego Ideas.
Lego is going to take over the world.
The day that Lego became self-aware.
Sentient Lego, yes.
Sentient Lego. Now, the one thing I'd like to point out, Kelly, that I think is absolutely awesome about your story is line one, word one, is the correct use of the S when used with Lego.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Lego apostrophe S, as in ownership of Legos, in the possessive, too right. That's the only time an S should be on the end of Lego. Are you listening, America?
Legos?
Shut up, Ryan.
Hey. I only have one Lego, and it's not as much fun to play with. I don't see what all the hype is about.
Will they ever make starch Lego bricks? Because that would be perfectly good. Batwinch says she wants them made out of foam Lego. And Wind Rider says, don't tweet out Lego of mass destruction. And Rich Dummer says he's in a Lego-free house. I don't know what that means, but you're going to get some serious hate, mate, of this chat room, that's for sure. Dot Rock, Lego my ego. Very good. Sentient Lego is the name that Jeff still dances under. Oh, man. That might be the title.
Yay!
You can't believe where people had to stick their dollar bills for me.
Oh, mate.
You got dollar bills, I just got some cold nickels.
Did you lift your helmet up for that? No, don't answer that.
All right, I'll just let you wonder.
We've put him off. He's lost his story, but now he's going to dive in. Gazmaz, talk us through it, buddy.
Okay, well, I've had so many links to this, the two stories that I was going to go with, but I went with this one because I was hoping to get it in after the nano stuff. And this is basically the fact that the USA have challenged Japan to a giant robot battle in about a year's time. This is going to happen. So did anybody see the film Real Steel?
Yes.
It's going to happen, folks. It's going to happen in a year. So I've the link that I put into the show notes takes you through it. But I think last year, Megabot USA raised a load of money to create a massive giant robot. And the same company now wants to create a humanoid-type robot. And they've challenged the world's only other giant robot maker, which is Karatus Mecha, I think it is.
Oh, them, yeah.
Yeah, them. And Kuguru Karata has accepted the challenge for this fight. So apparently it's going to happen next year. So we've gone from nano, we've gone from Lego, and we've gone to giant robots fighting each other, much like the film Real Steel. Let's go for it, boys. I'm looking forward to this one. I want to be there. If it's on the 23rd of July, sorry, Ewan, but I'm going to watch this fight.
I hope it's made out of environmentally friendly stuff.
I hear it's made out of Lego.
I can tell you exactly what it's made out of. All the plastic which is floating around in the Pacific.
Oh, really?
There you go.
Because there's supposed to be an island the size of Texas.
Yes.
In the specific. No, in the Pacific.
In the specifically the Pacific.
I'm not sure specifically where it is, but it's in the Pacific.
Yeah, well, if Lego actually would go out and get a boat and collect all that plastic and then make the Legos out of that, then I'd be a happy bunny. But yeah. No, so these are two giant robots, and they're going to be punching it out. They're not going to be paintballing each other. They're actually going to be trying to get these robots to hit and really have a go at each other. So I'm looking forward to that already.
Gaz said Legos.
Sorry.
Oh, no, what's going on?
Invasion of the Body Snatchers, right?
I'm only keeping the Americans happy.
And who got it right? The American.
Yeah, well, what for once.
Yeah.
you have at least two Americans on the show today that understand the proper usage of Lego.
There's three, yes. How dare you? Carrie's taking that, or someone's going to take that as an insult.
Now, my other story was going to be this one, because actually Kelly mentioned it. So let me throw this into the chat room now anyway, because I think this is interesting. A UK company that has been using starwars.co.uk or starhashwars.co.uk for the past 10 years, and they've been using it live in relationship to their business, have just lost the ownership of that name because obviously the Disney people, Disney obviously getting money out of the Star Wars from Lego, have basically taken it off their hands by putting a claim into, is it ECAM? No, who's the company that looks after the names, domain names in the UK?
ICANN,
yes, it's been, and they've been awarded it, so they've got it. Now, it doesn't look like this company that have had this website name for 10 years, been using it in as part of their business for 10 years, are going to get any money for this at all, by the looks of it. So, bad, Disney, see,
I've got to say, actually, that I find this really, this stuff just really distasteful. If you've got some and you own it and someone else wants it, you should buy it off them. You shouldn't steal it off them. I think this is all wrong. And it's like the land grab on, you know, juliaroberts.com or, any of the celebrity names.com.co.uk. They shouldn't put them out for sale. They should not be available for sale if that's the case. But once someone has bought them, has proved their initiative and got up early to buy them, stiff shit. If you want them back, you pay for them.
Yeah.
It's a free market. If they're available, you can buy them.
Well, it's not a free market because Nominate clearly does what the it likes. Excuse me.
That's it, Nominate. That's it. That's it.
That's not fair at all.
Well, I think they also grabbed StarWars.UK because obviously they were going to be offered StarWars.UK because we're changing over from .co.uk to just .uk. So because they've got StarWars.co.uk, they were being offered Star Wars UK. And they said to Disney, okay, you can have StarWars.UK, but we'd like to continue using StarWars.co.uk because we've been using it for 10 years. And apparently Disney said, nope, can't have that. We want it.
And, there's two real interesting tie-ins here. One is Nissan, or as you guys say, Nissan. They have if you go to Nissan.com, it takes you to Uzi Nissan's page, who's a computer technician and has had the pages and has been fighting for that page for years and years and years. As far as I know, the litigation continues indefinitely until he'll be dead and Nissan will live on and eventually absorb his page. So Nissan USA or NissanCars.com becomes the site. And he, being a computer nerd that he is, when the internet was first made public, he registered that domain and has a legitimate purpose for it. He didn't just steal it to take it. It's his legitimate name. The other thing that reminds me of, brings to story is the FBI, when they shut down Kim.com's mega upload site, all these sites that the FBI shut down, they did not renew. And so when they came up for renewal,
oh, geez.
The people bought them. And turn them into porn sites and all kinds of other stuff.
Yeah, see, that's the capitalism in action right there.
That's awesome.
When this came out, nobody knew just how valuable a domain name would become. You know, the forward looker thinkers had the clue, but you know, in the last 5 years, I think people are just grabbing domain names left, right, and center. But you know. There's no laws around this, so it's a bit of a bizarre, really. And then, you know, it's who you know as to whether you can get it back. And in this case, Disney being the company they are, and Nominate have kind of just said, okay.
Yeah, it becomes a battle of how much money you have. It's not about right or wrong. It's, you know, who wins and who loses.
If they're trading on the Star Wars name, I have some sympathy because that would predate the internet. That would not be right. But if you're talking about someone who's trading on their own name, and it happens to be the same as someone else, so, you know, juliaroberts.com, and my name is Julia Roberts, then I have a real problem with that.
Yeah, this one, I know where you're coming from on that, Ewan, because this is kind of, they are trading on the back of the Star Wars name, and they are linking to their business, which does costumes, which are Star Wars costumes. But, you know, it's a .co.uk website. So, you know, when you type in Star Wars, who's going to get more hits? It's going to be the Disney site eventually. But yeah. I know where you're coming from, but that's where it becomes very iffy ground.
Well, so I'm a photographer. My name that I was given when I was born by my parents, who are both named Rankin, was Ewan Rankin, and I'm a photographer. And there's a bloke called Rankin who takes the odd snap now and again. He was born a year before me, so I guess he's prior art, if you like. And he's called Rankin Photographer. So if he wants to take me on, that's fine. But I haven't got as much as he has, so he wouldn't really swell his masses more by suing me. But it's my name. And if someone says, I'm sorry, you can't put the word Rankin and photography together because this guy did it first.
Right. Well,
he can go bollocks. I'll have that fight quite happily because it's my frigging name. And the fact I take pictures, sorry, mate, you don't have an exclusive right to either of those things, and you certainly don't have a right to those things put together because you know, circumstance will tell you that someone, and there'll be another photographer out there called Rankin, probably.
Yeah.
And he has just as much right to get rankinphotography.com as I do. I'm going to check on you, go too. Just discuss that for a second while I check.
Could you just check for iamstarwars.com as well, please?
I am Star Wars.
Yeah. But I mean, it just, to a degree, they kind of put themselves in the bad position because they wouldn't let it go. And I think this is where it seems like it's Big Brother, because Star Wars have got their lawyers involved. And as soon as a big company like that get the lawyers involved, it gets everybody, well, you know, the smaller boy, the Backstreet Boy, it gets their backs up because, you know, it's just the powerhouse coming in. And I'm sure a little bit of negotiation should have gone on. This company in the UK must have realised they were going to lose these. It's just the way and the manner that they've lost them, which I think is a little bit disappointing. And companies like Star Wars have, you know, I think they've got to show a little bit more. Well, for me, I don't think it does their image that much good.
Well, look, this is for the fans. It's by the fans. Like, they should encourage this. This is good for them. Look at the story of Mike Rowe. Mike Rowe was a software developer, and his website was Microsoft, MikeRoweSoft. And Microsoft got wind of this, and they said, we want to take the site down. He said no. They sent a cease and desist order. Eventually, they paid him off and offered him a job after college to come work for Microsoft, and he took the site down. You know, it was a mutually agreeable negotiation that took place. But who's going to confuse Mike Rowe with Microsoft? I mean, there's so much of this. It's so ridiculous. Paramount is very, very overprotective with Star Trek when it comes to fans doing fan fiction or anything they post online regarding Star Trek. They're very quick to send cease and desist orders and have that stuff taken down. And they're failing to recognize these are the fans, and you are insulting your fans. You're upsetting them. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't want the fans, maybe you need to go into a different field where you don't have fans.
Litterpicker.
Well, we also don't know what happened. I mean, we don't know if anybody... We don't know if Star Wars approached this other site and said, you know, and asked nicely or offered to buy it, and these guys just dug in their heels and said no. We don't know. So maybe... And I'm not saying that they did, and I'm not trying to defend anyone, but maybe they did start out trying to be cool about it and trying to make it fair and equitable and only pulled out the nuclear option, so to speak, once everything else had failed. You know, maybe they were trying to be nice about it. I don't know. Maybe they totally weren't and just swooped in and did it. But I see that far more, like you were saying, Carrie, I see that far more with Star Trek than I do with Star Wars. They tend to sort of let some of that stuff go. But the fact that this was a site that had been around for a while that is also selling Star Wars stuff, it's not like this is someone's name or something like that. Like, it's not Mike Rowe, and, you know, it's not Rankin Photography or anything like that. So I wonder if that maybe had something else to do with it as well. What I wish would have happened is that maybe they would have been able to get some sort of deal where their stuff then became official and they were selling official Star Wars costumes. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, you make a good point
and
there.
We have seen that happen.
My initial reaction is it's a big multi-billion dollar corporation versus the little guy. That's my initial instinctive gut response.
Yeah,
that's how it feels.
I mean, like I said, Star Wars was something that was around long before the internet, therefore...
Yeah.
Or before commercial domains were available.
And I get that.
You're making money off a name.
But they've only just jumped in 2015 after they've been running a site selling Star Wars costumes for 10 years. And now all of a sudden
Disney's
taken
over. Yeah, and there was a StarWars.com.
And then they've jumped in. He's been,
long
you know,
time ago.
It's not like he's hidden the name. He's actually been selling stuff. And you know... it's been a business since for 10 years, but now all of a sudden they jump in. So
what if I make my name my child Star Wars? I'm so inspired by the movie, I want his name to be that or her name to be that. And they grow up to get involved in developing a laser gun. Are they going to be told that they can't have that name? Are they going to be sued for their name? Are they going to be told they have to give royalties for their invention that was inspired by a movie? How far does this go?
This has happened already in this country.
Really?
There are people that have birth names that have been sued by companies because their birth name is the same as the company, and it happened independently.
Mm-hmm. And I bet they Greek god Nike
can't have that name because you're infringing on our copyright.
Thank God I named my son Wugga Humphdenwolf.
Oh, I forgot to tell you about too? My new company. We make soft Lego.
Do you just shout woof when you want to find him in the house? Because
that's a short name, yeah.
That's a short name, right, okay. I've just bought Rankin.photography off UK2. Oh.
We thought you'd gone quiet.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Huge thanks to UK2 because they're the people that keep us afloat and they keep us buying irrelevant names, except I've got Rankin.photography now, which is cool. £19.99. And I use my offer code and I got 20% off it. Huzzah. If you'd like to get your own domain name, go to UK2. If you want co-location services, if you want your own VPS, VPN, any of that kind of stuff, you can go to UK2. They are absolutely fantastic. Please, please, please check them out because they support us. We've got an unlimited server with unlimited bandwidth. You will always get our shows all the time. We never crap out. No one ever falls over. And the other thing is the live show goes to the world at 2 seconds with distributed content management, which I know they're pushing very much at the moment with their cloud service. Anything that you publish will be wherever you want it to be 2 seconds later anywhere else in the globe. Everyone gets it at the same time. And the server we're using is from 100tb.com. And the server we're using is only $139 a month. So if you're a US listener and you switch off at the UK2 thing, well, you shouldn't because you can buy UK2 services anyway. But fear not, you can get all of the stuff that you can get off UK2, you can get via 100tb.com, and it's cheap, and it's good, and it's high quality. So check them out. They're superb. And actually, 100tb actually use some data sharing with UK2 servers as well. So if you're over in the UK, all of your stuff should be available just as fast. Thank you very much to them. We'd be lost without them. And thanks also to Telestream, who do the fantastic software Wirecast that we use on the shows. You can check out ScreenFrow from them, which is absolutely superb. No bash tickets to sell this week, so we're quickly on, it would seem. You can get a caricature if you would like, though. The Wall of Shame currently stands at 31 pictures that are up there. People who want to be on the wall, who want to be seen with those that matter. There's the picture from the bash, and everyone came and saw it, and a few people had their picture took next to it. And it's wonderful. If you'd like a caricature, personalised caricature made by Len Peralta, then send an email to btncaricatures@gmail.com, and we'll send you the instructions how to get it done. And like I say, there was loads of people looking at those. And a guy who makes signs for a living actually popped in to the studio this week to speak to me. And he looked at the wall and he went, wow, that's cool. And he makes signs for a living. So there you go. It is cool. If you want to get on the Wall of Shame, send us an email. btncaricatures@gmail.com. Right. First person to get their cool thing in the chat room gets to go first with the cool thing because we have some cool things. I'm going to start us off, though, because I never get to go first, and I'm going to show you something which is well, let's just say it's the dog's bollocks. No one's going to top this. The only downside to what I'm about to show you is that it's $2,500. But I looked at this video today, and glory be, I want it. Are you ready? Enjoy. It's not playing. There we go. Sorry about that. I can edit. So this is a synthesizer, but the keys are completely different. As you can see, they're laid out like a piano. But basically, how you touch them and the way you roll your fingers after you touch them changes the tone. So vibrato, you actually wobble your finger. And if you want to get it to like a wah sound, you push harder mid-tone.
This is really cool.
You know, that wah sound, that long chords sound like, the Hammond organs. That's it. There we go.
You bought that whole unit?
No, I haven't bought it. Jesus Christ, Spicy.
Well, you know.
Do you think I have made a money?
But what about Amazon Prime?
It's not available on Prime. I do unfortunately hasten to add. So you can't get it. It is the Rolly Seaboard Grand Synthesizer Controller Keyboard. And it comes with software that you have to put on your computer in order to get it to play anything. But it's £2,400 at Absolute Music at the moment.
I'd like to lay under it. I bet that'd be a great massage while somebody's playing.
I think it's solid underneath, Carrie. I think you've got the wrong end of the stick there, mate.
He would like to be the keys.
exactly.
Back when she's saying I broke my own room because you only have something that you bought. But I looked at that and I was like, I want to buy that. And I was thinking about saving up for a MacPo for the studio, but...
Lust. Bollocks, that's what he's going for.
That. I got a promotional email for Absolute Music and this morning. I just thought, oh, man, that is cool. After-touch technology in your keyboard. Most definitely the best thing going.
Wow.
That one just put some links in. There you go. But it's $2,500, so there we go.
Okay.
I do apologize. I haven't bought it. I just looked at it and thought, well, if there's something about cool things that means that they've got to be cool, Jesus, that's cool.
Well, we might as well all go home now.
Yeah, we're done.
No, because no one's going to actually buy that, are they?
Just hold on to your mics. You can drop it, and then we're all out of here.
Jeff G, is that GameSpot link your cool thing?
Yes, it is.
Right. There we go. What's that hurt
it's,
for?
It's expensive, too.
Well, it's not... compared to Ewan's keyboard, no.
Yeah, no. But
okay, so there's this new game platform that LEGO has created, and it's called LEGO Dimensions. And the premise is you have LEGO, all these different LEGO themes, and you bring them all together into a single game. So you have like LEGO Star Wars and the LEGO Movie and LEGO Simpsons. And now, LEGO Doctor Who. Yeah, so they're adding Doctor Who into the LEGO Dimensions game. And they even have Peter Capaldi doing voiceover work for the game. And that video, the promotion video that they've put out for it, where you have Wildstyle, Gandalf, and Batman flying into the TARDIS and then interacting with the Doctor and having to fight Daleks and Cybermen. And it's one of those things where I just want to say, shut up, LEGO, and take my money. It just looks so fracking cool.
And so getting into the game, I think, is $130?
Wow.
No, I don't think it's that set. High. It's if you want to buy all the expansion kits for it.
Okay, I thought you had to buy that in order to play with the Doctor Who stuff, that you had to buy one of the intro sets.
Can buy individual expansion kits. So you buy the basic game, which I think is like $30 or $40, and then you buy the expansion kits that you want to go with it so that you can include the characters that you want to play.
Okay.
So you don't have to buy everything. So if you want to do it, say, where you're playing with Batman and Doctor Who, then you only have to buy those specific expansion kits. But it comes with a few characters just right away. Actually, I think it comes with Batman, Gandalf, and Wildstyle with the basic kit. And then you add from there. So you could add Doctor Who and start traveling around time and space in your LEGO TARDIS.
And you can't do this until September. And then it's a console game. I don't know if there's computer versions or not.
Yeah, there's supposed to be computer versions also.
I hope it's not as shit as their LEGO game for all the other platforms, because that really is crap. First one was great, but then they just made the same. You just have to build something and walk to a different area and build something else. And
I thought that was called Minecraft.
It's shit.
Yeah, isn't that?
There's no variants. You have to build a thing. I can't stand LEGO games. I think they're disgusting and bad, but Ellis loves them. So
I do too.
I'm guessing he's the target market.
Yeah, I'm kind of into LEGO games too.
Okay, sorry, Matt. I didn't mean to diss it.
No, that's fine. You're just going to diss everything I have today. I still love
it. Not for everybody. I get it.
No, what I'm doing is stalling for every other bastard to put the link in. For
oh, right, right. Yeah.
My link's in there.
It's in there.
Carrie, where's your link then, Carrie?
It's above Jeff's.
Oh, it's below Jeff's.
He snubbed me.
All right, go for it, Carrie. What's your cool thing?
You're not going to think this is... A lot of people are not going to think this is a cool thing. And I didn't think it was a cool thing. This is one of the coolest things ever. And we probably, all of us watching this, know who this is. I don't have to say its name. It's recognized all over the world. It was created and is continued to be puppeteered by the same gentleman who was doing it when I was a child.
For those of you on audio, it's Big Bird, by the way.
You think that was necessary to say?
Yes, because 50% of our listeners are on audio.
Oh, my apologies. Right,
they wouldn't be able to see what you're waggling in front of the camera.
Yes. So, yeah, okay, you have to visualize what I'm holding in my hand.
This is recognized.
Big Bird is
that what he calls it? Big Bird.
Yeah, for those of you that are listening only, Kerry is waggling his Big Bird in front of the camera.
Thank you.
And it's yellow.
Jesus.
For the visually impaired, Jeff will be describing what's happening on screen. The character of Big Bird has been is also the character of Groucho.
Oscar
the Grouch, thank you. And Carol Spinney's the gentleman's name. And he is not to intentionally make a pun, but a bird of a feather for any of us who are nerds who were told we didn't fit in and we'd never amount to anything. The documentary is available on demand called I Am Big Bird, The Story of Carol Spinney. And if you don't well up and cry half a dozen times throughout this movie, both in sadness and in happiness, I don't think you're a human being. I thought of Big Bird as something for children and never thought much about it as an adult. And when I went and watched this movie, I really don't want to tell you anything about it, because it's so powerful and it's so moving. Who knew there was so much, this guy was so interesting and so fascinating and so touching. And I cannot emphasize enough how important I think it is to visit the humanity, the good side of human beings. We have enough news and sadness in the world. And I don't think anybody who sees this movie will be able to turn it off before completing it. It is an excellent documentary. It's all true. And the guy is, he's 80 years old. He's still doing it today. And the amount of work and effort it takes to even create, to make Big Bird come alive, I had no idea how complex that was. What a talented guy this is. And I never even heard his name. I've never heard the word Carol Spinney in my life. And I can't recommend it enough. Amazon, iTunes, on demand, you can get it now. It'll be on DVD very soon. Check it out. It's a powerful and inspirational story. And I think when you're done watching it, you'll say, you know what? That really is a cool thing.
I bet that costume's bloody heavy with all the animatronics for the mouth and all that kind of stuff in it.
Oh, there's no animatronics. It's all done by hand. And Big Bird's 8 feet tall. He has to walk around with his hand over his head for hours at a time with a little eyelid string on his pinky to make the eyes blink.
Yeah.
Well, he may be roller skating or jumping on a trampoline with these giant feet and looking at a monitor on the inside, because that's the only thing he can't see out of the costume.
So
one of the arms is his arm, and Big Bird's head is his other arm.
Yes, and then the other arm is connected via a string as a counterbalance. And you'll notice Big Bird only uses his left arm.
Yeah.
Right.
So the other arm just kind of goes the opposite of whatever the main arm is doing. And I'd never noticed it before. It's so seamless.
I thought it
and,
was yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if Big Bird using his right arm, it feels like someone else is doing it.
I didn't ask.
cool. Excellent one, mate. I like that. I'm going to order that. We're going to watch it, definitely. Righty boy, what's yours, mate?
Well, it's a couple of years old, but I've started playing it. Do you know the Telltale game on PC and Xbox?
No, I don't. Explain them to me, please.
So there are a range of games. I'm playing a game at the moment called The Walking Dead, which is based on the comic book and the TV series. But they do loads of, they do a Borderlands version, a Game of Thrones version. It's almost a modern version of the kind of text-based adventure games you used to play when you were a kid. So you like left, walk five paces, pick up rock, It's like watching a movie, but in certain parts of the game, you have to then make a decision or say the right thing, and the game is basically tailored to how you play it. So everyone who's ever played the game, the outcome is always different. I played a demo of it. It's the first episode is free on Xbox Live at the moment. I bought the full version, and the episodes are £3 each if you want to buy the further versions. But it's literally like playing the old school BBC micro games, but with full animation, it's zombies, it's atmospheric. But my wife actually said, I really enjoy you playing this game. It's like watching a movie. We get to choose how the movie ends. And you're literally, there's certain points where you have to choose someone who dies or say the right thing to someone. But whatever you say or do tells you how the game goes on. So you could play the game probably 50 times, making different decisions, and the game would end up in a different way. But it's a couple of years old. It's a 2012 game. It's Game of the Year edition at the moment. But you can get it on Xbox Live Gold now. The first episode is free, so you can play the first episode for free. And after that, all the other episodes are £3 each, but well worth giving it a go.
Excellent, mate. Excellent. And how far have you got?
I'm on the last episode, and I'm crapping myself. It is so scary. You have to make some... I won't go into it on this show, but you have to make some really, really difficult decisions that really question your morals. And you sit there, and I'm looking at my wife. She's looking at me, and I'm like, what do I do? What do I do? Like, today it was like they cut my arm off. And it's really harrowing. But she watches and she goes, I really like you playing this game, because I'm watching a movie, but I get to choose what happens at the end. So, but yeah, really great game. But they've got Game of Thrones versions, Borderlands versions, all sorts. You look at the Xbox Store, look at Telltale Games. Actually, there's actually a sale at the moment for PC and Mac, and it's $4.99 for the whole series.
All right. Okay. Like that.
And they've done, they do a variety of games, Telltale does, that are like this. So, like, if the whole zombie thing isn't your jam, they do other games that are also episodic like this, where you have to walk through and do different things, and whatever you do has an impact on the ultimate outcome of what you're playing. They're super fun.
Yeah, love it.
Oh, excellent. That's pretty cool. I like that. I'm going to interrupt Kelly. I do apologize, but Pete Buckley has just sent me a link on Twitter to a bloke who has put a drone inside R2-D2. Because we're going back a few weeks.
Oh, my word.
If you haven't been listening for a few weeks, you'll know that a few weeks back, you know, a couple of months back, we were like the ultimate drone. What has anyone put it in? And someone has put a
drone.
That's
so awesome.
I mean, this is hot off the press. Pete Buckley has literally at 21:30 sent me the link on Twitter. Thank you.
There's even a restraining bolt on the front of R2.
Oh, my God.
How cool is that? It doesn't. I mean, they've only got that little tiny thing there, and then there's the there is a video below that R2-D2's first flight. But I kind of get the impression because that's a ducted fan effectively. But I'm remarkably stable, I think, because it does look like it should go belly up rather rapidly.
Look at that!
But he's got it, and he's got it in a hover, which is. It shows it's pretty stable, but ducted fans are notoriously bad for wind turbulence and stuff. But there you go.
That's probably the best yet.
Like, just got to watch the end of the video and see if it's crashed.
Yeah, because if this is the first flight, I really don't... I'm not going to believe it was first unless they just cut the crash.
looks fake, says Batwinch, but I don't think it is.
No?
Yeah, it looked like it was going to tip over there as well, and it didn't. And he's brought it back to land, so wow. Otto Diefenbach, well done, mate.
That's amazing.
Oh, these are the guys that did the flying...
The TARDIS.
The TARDIS one that smashed into a million pieces. Excellent. Like that one.
My goodness. Excellent.
Thank you very much, Pete. You're at Time Traveler on Twitter. Well done, pal. Kelly, talk us through yours, mate, because I've just thrown it up on screen.
Yeah, it's really lame compared to an R2 drone 2.
Yeah, no,
but...
I didn't do it to trump you or anything. I'm sorry, but...
Yeah, not to just turn my pick into something completely lame or anything. This is a super handy little deal that I use all the time, and it just now occurred to me that I should use it as a pick. And what it is a keyboard and screen cleaner for whatever computer you have. So the reason it's cool is because it's this little compact deal. And one switch will push up some stiff brushes for cleaning your keyboard. And then the other one pushes up a softer brush to brush off your screen if you just have like some dust on it and you want to make sure that you get all the sort of lint and whatnot off. And then the other side opens up, and of course I'm doing all this in front of the camera and you guys aren't able to see it. The cap end pops off and it's got this flat black piece, and this is what you use to actually wipe. If you have fingerprints and things on your screen, this will help get them off. And it's a super handy deal because the brushes are really awesome. And it's just a little plastic. The thing itself has a little pen clip on it. And it's got a little sort of, you know, put it in your bag or whatever. And then the bottom edge, I don't remember. They told me what's actually on this little black pad, but it's like a camera lens cleaner.
Well,
sort of
get,
a deal.
You get camera lens cleaners that are like that. They're in a form of a pen, and you pull it off the end, and it's got a round thing on that you rub over the lens.
Yeah. It's that, but a little bit bigger, so you can use it on the glass of your laptop. And then the way this works is the keyboard one is a stiffer brush that I just threw down on my desk. And then the keyboard brush, or the screen brush, is much softer and very cool. And I really like having the ability to do this because you can just pop out the brush and get in between the keys and things. It's not as big of a problem if you have the Chiclet style keyboard where there's empty space between the keys. But if you have something like this, it's super handy to be able to use that to get down in between the keys of your keyboard. And I really am glad I have it. And I as often as I remember to drop it in my backpack, it's in my backpack, but otherwise it's always out on my desk.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. $19. I'll have a look, see if it's in the UK store before I post the show notes. And if you haven't noticed, I have been posting the show notes. Also, as well, and you might have thought to yourself, well, you know, that deal's passed. For no apparent reason, I have no idea why, Macfun are still giving every BTN listener a free copy of Focus.
Well, that's really nice of them.
Yeah, no, the deal was supposed to stop last Friday, but it's still going on. So if you'd like to get a copy of it, just all you got to do is submit your name and your email address, and they will send you a free, full working copy of Focus. Absolutely free charge.
That's really cool.
There you go. Still going on. And a few people have tweeted out this week and said, oh, I love the deal with that. Thank you very much. And I bought Intensity as a result of Ewan's recommendation. And I've also bought Noiseless. And Noiseless is absolutely unbelievable. I've worked with some noise reduction applications in my time, but that's the dog's nuts. Thank you very much to Macfun for doing that. And of course, being as a fact we've had the bash, we're absolutely skint at the moment. So if you'd like to chuck us some money through patreon.com/British Tech Network, it will be greatly received because with the bash and all the last lot of caricatures that we've had, we're kind of cleaned out. So anything extra you can send to us, we'd love you forever. If you go to bageltechnews@gmail.com, that's the PayPal address, you can just give a one-time donation if you'd like to kind of tide us over, see us into it. And, of course, this place is costing a fortune every month.
Batwench found the UK Amazon link, by the way, for the...
Good girl. Thank you
for
very much.
The Laptop Pro from LensPen.
Superb. Cheers. Where can we get a hold of you, everybody? Gaz? Have you done your cool thing?
No.
Oh, sorry, man. Sorry. We were going through in order of the chat room.
I did put it in the chat room. I'll put it in again quickly. So if you do me a favour... You can go to keep on me for the time being. Go to the website link that I've put in there, and then just scroll to the bottom.
iPhone binoculars, is that
the one? Yeah. Ooh.
Okay.
Right. So what I'm doing now is holding up a phone. Now this is an iPhone, but it doesn't have to be an iPhone. It can be any camera phone. And what else I have here is a pair of binoculars. So if you have a camera phone and you have a pair of binoculars, what I tried out. Now I've heard about people doing this before, but actually, at Silverstone, what I did, and if you want to now go to the website, Ewan, for those in the chat room or watching on video. What I did was, if you scroll to the bottom of that page for me, please. Good. You're right to the bottom. These, as Ewan is scrolling past, are images that I took by just sitting down in my chair, holding up my camera, my iPhone, to my binoculars, and basically taking these shots. Now, once I got them into photos, I did a little bit of cropping, but, and you know, that's why the one of Hamilton there is slightly closer, because I cropped in better, and it was a slightly better shot. But all of this was taken with the phone through binoculars. And when you get to the top, if you scroll a bit higher, and obviously we'll put the link so anybody can go and have a look at these. I would say if you've got a pair of binoculars and a phone, try it, because some of these shots, I think I'm quite impressed with myself. Now, the first video, if you scroll down ever so slightly for me, for those watching on video, Ewan, now there's a video there. That is the shot. You don't have to play it if you don't want to, but that is a shot that you would see with the camera phone normally. So you can see how far away that corner is in the bottom right-hand side. This is basically just the red arrows doing a bit. This video is very short. But what I was showing there was how far away that corner was. Now, if you go back to the page, so what Ewan has just shown is an image of the red arrows. This is a slow motion shot. It's not slow motion all the way through, but this is a shot of Hamilton, Lewis Hamilton, coming through with me taking a shot through the binoculars. Now, there's a bit of flare there, because I had to do this fairly quickly. When I spotted it, it was him coming down. But I've got a slow motion shot, and I've got the binoculars, and I'm looking at the screen. I've got the camera phone linked up to the binoculars, and that's the shot I took. And I've got to say, I was pretty pleased with that, Ewan.
I'm blown away with that, mate. That's superb.
I was really, really impressed with, not only that, some of the pictures that have come out really well. I was absolutely mind blown, really, absolutely mind blown. Now, I've had a look for all sorts of devices which you can get to try and connect your phone, camera phone, to binoculars, but some of them are a bit bulky, and to be perfectly honest with you, you also want to be able to just use your binoculars separately. So you don't want to have some frame built around your binoculars, because you want to be able to use them as well. And it took a little bit of adjustment with the camera phone up to the lens. But I've got to say, that's my cool thingy.
Chat room saying, nice going, Gaz. So there you go. Spot on.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. Anyway. If you want to see any other videos or pictures that I've taken over the past, not all with the iPhone, do you want me to carry on with that to take us out?
Yeah, I was quite impressed with the stability there, mate, because I bought a case that had a screw-in magnification lens for the iPad mini. And the one thing
like the Olaclip?
Yeah, but well, yes and no. So it's screwed on. You had to put a casing on the iPad mini, and then you had to screw the lens onto it. And it was a fair old length. I mean, it was... it was half the length of an iPhone, if you like, in terms of the lens. And I found significant problems in trying to hold that still, even though I got two hands and I could brace my elbows in. And,
That's why I was quite impressed with the video, because I thought I did a pretty good job there, to be honest with you.
That's amazing, mate, in terms of stability.
That's great.
So so if you've got a pair of binoculars and you've got a camera phone, give it a go. Somebody's took Doc Rock's put snap zooms in. I've seen some bad reviews on those, Doc. So I don't know whether to try them or not. But there's all sorts of stuff out there that you can try.
I've got Prinsia on that.
I'm not saying what he just said there. But if you've got
he's very proud of his product.
And the camera phone, give it a go. Just give it a shot and see what you can come out with. It needs a little bit of adjustment, but once you get used to where you need to put the lens, then great shots.
Excellent.
If you want to contact me, I'm on the Twitters as twitter.com/Gazmaz. That's GAZMAZ. Anyone who listens to the My Mac show will know all about that. And talking about the My Mac, I do a show every week with a guy called Guy Searle. We call ourselves the G-Men and MyMac.com. And you can go over to Gazmaz.com as well. And if anybody comes up with the name Gazmaz, I've been using that for a long time. It's my name. You're going to have to buy it off me, all right?
I'm going to register that domain, .co.uk.
There's also a link in the chat room from WinRider that's showing an iPhone binocular adapter.
Let me just open that link, because I have been doing a bit of searching around for them. That's a link to Yeah. I had a look at that, and again, there were lots of bad reviews on it. So I may well try one or two of these things to see if I can get it. The best one that I saw was basically a frame which you actually put onto the binoculars themselves. But as I say, that actually makes it rather useless. So I found it quite all right, just actually holding my the camera phone up to the lens.
You can get adapters for telescopes, which Doc.
Yeah.
Does
allegedly. Yes. Now that makes more sense because you've got a bit more time there. But following a car around a track and wanting to watch a lot of other stuff, it means you're going to have to buy another pair of binoculars and link it up to it, which I didn't want to do.
Have you tried taking a picture of the moon, mate? Because it moves pretty fast. I can tell you.
I know it does, actually, yes.
For something the size of America, it moves pretty swift. It's moving faster than F1 car.
Okay,
I guess technically, you know, but give me a break. Jeff, where can we get a hold of you, buddy?
Oh, you can find me hanging out over at MacObserver.com and you can find me at FreshBrewTales.com and you can find me on Twitter. I'm Jay Gamut and also on Instagram and hey, on tons of really cool podcasts, including the Mac Observer Daily Observations and here too.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Kelly G.
You can find me on Twitter as Verso. Lately, I've been talking a lot about basketball. So hi, Kyle, if you're listening. We have a lot of NBA stuff to discuss. I miss when I'm not on a show with Kyle Swagger because I like to talk basketball with him. And I have lots of basketball to talk about. Also, you can find me sometimes with Jeff on the Daily Observations podcast over at Mac Observer, occasionally writing at MacObserver.com. And you can find me as soon as Mike Rose gets back from vacation, we will be cranking back up the after show with Mike and Kelly at aftershowpodcast.com.
Thank you very much. Righty boy.
I'll be missing the bash, mate, terribly.
Yeah.
I know. But if not, I'm at Paul's on Twitter and always BritishTechNetwork.com.
And our director of social media will be tweeting out loads of stuff in the next few
days. Sir.
And Carrie, Mr. Holtzman, where are you, sir?
I'm certainly not on Twitter. However, you can find me on YouTube. You can go to carrieholtzman.com, not .co.uk. That takes you to a site I cannot endorse. And then, of course, my podcast about running a computer repair business, all the trials and tribulations of dealing with difficult customers, difficult problems, and all the joy and fun that can be had as a computer tech. If you're thinking about becoming one, you're going to learn more in this podcast than any class I've ever seen. And it's completely free, available at www.tech-vets.com. And thanks for having me.
Pleasure, mate. Thanks very much. My name is Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, or you can watch me trying to get Pat Periscope to my iPhone, giving me notifications. I've switched it off and it's still sodding doing it. Have a great week. See you next weekend.